Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And big announcement, next week when we do our Q&A with Layla, you're going to see us on Facebook. Those of you who want to attend a Facebook Live event, it'll be live this upcoming Tuesday, the 15th, at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You excited about that, Layla?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That'll be our first Facebook Live.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to get your hair done, or are you going to get...
I don't know.
No. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Just give you a warning.
I'm glad you gave me a warning today. I said, wow.
Okay. We got to get all dolled up for this. We're just going to, it's going to be casual. And if you want, there's an opportunity on Facebook to just throw a question right at us and we'll answer it right there on the air.
So that'll be great fun.
Yeah. So we've got questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And what do we got in the mail? We have an interesting question.
We do, from Ginger. My total cholesterol is high, 340, but it's currently being...
So this person may have what's called FH, familial hypercholesterolemia.
Yes,
that is a very high cholesterol.
That's a very high cholesterol. It's currently being managed into the 270-290 range through exercise and intermittent fasting. I don't tolerate statins or red rice yeast very well. I've tried garlic, green tea.
By the way, just parenthetically.
Yeah.
We now have genetic testing available, which will tell us which patients are more likely to have statin intolerance.
Hmm.
Now, it's not 100%, but it can predict if you are, you know, trying to make a decision about whether to take a statin, will you be a adverse responder to the statin?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ginger says, my DNA data from Ancestry.com shows a heterozygous PCSK9 mutation.
Mm-hmm.
My mother also has high cholesterol, but we don't really have any early age heart attacks in my family. My question is, do I really want to take the PCSK9 inhibitors?
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on these inhibitors?
So this speaks to an issue where, you know, statins lower cardiovascular risk in patients who are at high risk. I mean, I think there's some evidence for that. Although, for people who are at low risk, you know, my analogy is, you know, if you're in a car and you're like, cleaning out the glove compartment, do you really need to put the seatbelts on? It doesn't make sense. The car's not moving, you're at no risk. So people who are at low risk, when they take statins, they don't get any added benefit. People who are very high risk, maybe they have a heart attack, or if they've had a recent stent, you know, Bernie Sanders probably was just put on, you know, if he wasn't already, he's already, you know, he'll be put on a statin to keep those stents from reoccluding.
Mm.
But then there's a category of people who either can't take statins, like this person, they don't tolerate them, or they have such high cholesterol that even with a statin, their cholesterol is like 350.
Yeah.
With a statin.
With a statin.
I mean, it might go down from like 500, maybe, if they're lucky, it can go down to 350. It's more likely that if your cholesterol is 400, it can go down to 350 with a statin. That's a good reduction, but you're still at high risk, so they say. So they came up with a whole new raft of drugs. These are monoclonal antibodies, and they're expensive.
These inhibitors, the PCSK9 inhibitors?
PCSK9 inhibitors.
Yeah. They're monoclonal.
And it's a new
antibodies.
Category of drugs. They are injectable, so you have to give yourself a shot. And they dramatically lower cholesterol, so that you can get an LDL that's under 50, 30, you know, an LDL.
Oh,
you can get a cholesterol.
That's scary.
That is scary. That is scary. So we don't know, first of all, what the long-term effects are of really abolishing your cholesterol. But I actually have an article that speaks to this situation. I had not heard that Ancestry was giving people information about PCSK9. It sounds.
I would think it would be 23andMe, but not Ancestry.
It sounds confusing to me. Like, why would they give that information? What are the implications? I don't think anybody really knows what the implications are of a genetic change in that. And in fact, I've got an article that I dialed up because, you know, I got a little forewarning about this question. So I said, let me speak to it more authoritatively. And what the article basically says is that a mutation in the PCSK9 gene has little impact on the levels of total serum cholesterol, even in patients with familial hypercholesterolemia.
Huh.
So really what this basically saying is like, so what?
So
you have a gene change. It does not also dictate that you should be on a PCSK9 inhibitor. What would dictate is that decision is about, can you get your cholesterol down?
Uh-huh.
Or does it matter? Do you have a lot of plaque?
Yeah.
I would check.
Let's see if there is plaque.
Look for coronary artery calcification.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we do have, not uncommonly, especially women with familial hyperlipidemia, and they don't have any plaque. They have a zero plaque score.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that this tells us very much. I it's kind of like the whole point of giving out genetic information is that it should be actionable. It shouldn't be scary. It certainly isn't going to tell you that a drug is beneficial. And, oh, by the way, the reviews on this type of drug, the popular name for one of the drugs, one of the most popular ones, is Repatha.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen advertisements on TV about it. There are some benefits, and they've been highly touted. The New York Times, over-the-top rhetoric said this category of drugs has, quote, the potential to improve the health and longevity of millions of Americans with heart disease, the nation's leading killer, accounting for 1 in 4 deaths. But I'm reading a passage from Health News Review, which is a critical review of health journalism. Very good review, and they try to introduce, like, rationality into these breathless journalistic accounts of scientific advances. And they say, it's not until the 9th paragraph that we learn, no, the drug, quote, did not show a benefit in overall death rates from cardiovascular causes. Hello?
Well, golly.
It knocks your cholesterol down, but, okay. So.
But that's about it. That ever important cholesterol number.
And NPR applied a corrective. They said, pricey new cholesterol drugs' effect on heart disease is more modest than hoped. They had to have 67 people take the drug for one person to avoid a cardiovascular event.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reduction in the risk of death, which is really what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So $14,000 a year, it's injectable. What else does it do?
$14,000 a year.
Well, that's a cheap drug.
Oh, yes, of course.
I mean,
compared to the $300,000, Hep C drug? What was it?
It's cancer drugs and so on. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, what they're saying is that these drugs may be oversold,
mm-hmm.
that they might be necessary for a very small, niched category of people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of doctors are very enthusiastic about the cholesterol hypothesis. They're going to want to knock your cholesterol down by whatever means possible.
Yeah.
They'll be extensively detailed by the pharmaceutical industry, and they love to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And, they want to help. They're altruistic.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a lot of buy-in for the pharmacological model.
So Ginger should ask her doctor for an EBT heart scan.
That would help.
To see what her cholesterol is doing, if anything.
Mm-hmm. And this type of situation sounds like a day in the office for us. I mean, people come with these kinds of dilemmas,
Yeah. Other critical things to look for, Ginger, not just your cholesterol, but lipoprotein(a).
Homocysteine, CRP.
What are your triglycerides? You told us your cholesterol. But what are your triglycerides? They should be under 100.
Hmm.
Optimally, they should be under 80. I saw somebody today with a beautifully low triglyceride level of 36 or so. Mm-hmm. That's great.
On a low-carb diet.
I know they're on a low-carb diet.
He's on a low-carb diet. I saw that guy.
Their triglycerides are telling me mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
So I know he's doing all the right things.
Yeah.
The triglycerides don't lie. So.
All right, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors to offer this bit of crucial information. Here goes. Listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
We've got an email from Mike. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a 71-year-old male in excellent health. I work out daily, half-hour aerobics, half-hour of light weights. Over the last 2 years, I've been following a low-carb, high-fat diet, and I've dropped 15 excessive pounds. Yay! Wonderful. Over the last 8 months, I've been experiencing heart palpitations after eating. A pounding heartbeat. My cardiologist performed an EKG, found heart palpitations, and explained that I should ignore it. If it's not a problem, and many in the general population okay. have them but don't notice them,
yeah.
why does it happen after I eat?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that all the emphasis on diet is warranted here. I mean, there may be a connection to hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
But also,
it's happening after he eats. I'm wondering if there's a food allergy component.
There could be a food allergy component, but there could also be just simply a postprandial, nerve reaction. Like the autonomic nervous system is affected sometimes
okay.
when you eat.
Okay.
Things get triggered. The process of digestion gets triggered. There's a reflex to the mm-hmm. from between the digestive system and the heart. Something goes a little off. The good news is the cardiologist is complacent and he says that you have what are called benign palpitations. It's always good to get palpitations checked because they might be the more dangerous kind.
Yeah.
They're unpleasant. What can you do? You can take magnesium.
Yes.
Yeah. You can
take magnesium taurate, reacted magnesium.
Right.
Is a good one too.
You can also, some patients.
Take fish oil.
Fish oil has an antiarrhythmic effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. CoQ10 or ubiquinol.
And CoQ10, definitely.
Those three most definitely,
mm-hmm.
Mike.
And he's probably already taken those things.
And Mike, make sure you're not dehydrated.
Yeah.
People on a low-carb diet don't realize they do need more fluid because the diet itself has a very dehydrating effect. Dehydration can cause some palpitations or pounding heart.
And, the other thing to keep in mind is, if you have a cardiac arrhythmia, cardiac arrhythmias are sometimes associated with atherosclerosis and blockage, but you can have no blockage and you can begin to have changes in your heart rhythm or palpitations or an arrhythmia or atrial fibrillation.
Yeah.
Just the aging of the heart.
Yeah.
And stuff happens and it could be the best lifestyle does not prevent that. In fact, there is actually an association between really high intensity exercise like, marathons and
yeah.
ultra marathons and Ironman competition, and the risk of atrial fibrillation, because when the heart enlarges and it puts a little additional stress on
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mike, there you have it. Get your magnesium and your CoQ10 and your fish oil.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
See what happens.
Yeah. All right. This is from Roger. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a 71-year-old retired dentist. I believe that in the past you stopped recommending routine PSA tests because an elevated PSA usually leads to more tests, some of which are invasive and may cause more harm. 2 years ago, my PSA was a 2.7 and a recent test revealed that it went up to 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reluctant for obvious reasons to have a biopsy. Are there any non-invasive tests that could give me more of a sense of how serious this is? I heard something about an MRI for the prostate.
Sure, MRIs.
Would you recommend that?
Sure, the 4K test, which I believe is a blood test. We recently did a podcast on the subject with Dr. Aaron Katz, and if you can find that recent podcast, we go through all the options in terms of, short of a biopsy, what can you do to elucidate the question? Is it a dangerous rise in the PSA? The concern is there's a little bit of a spike in the PSA, the trajectory, it went up a little bit too much over a relatively short period of time. So we would want to see if it continues to go up at that rate, maybe do another one in 3 months, see if it's rising, before we jump to do a biopsy.
Okay. What can just raise PSA? Being an avid cyclist,
sex. Prostatitis.
Okay. Right. An infection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okay. Roger, best of luck to you. Thank you. Wow. All right. Let's see here from Ben. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I've had a bad fungal infection in several toes, including my big toe. I'm a yoga fanatic, and the infection makes me feel embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I had used a combo of tea tree oil and oregano oil on it multiple times a day for 6 months, and it hasn't helped me at all.
Yeah, doesn't sometimes help.
Neither did soaking the toes in Listerine.
Oh.
I've decided to take a course of terbinafine.
Right, which is an antifungal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've heard this med is very hard on the liver, even occasionally causing the need for a transplant. Ouch. Wow.
Well, I think it... You have to monitor liver function while you're taking that. But, I got to say that some of these methods of topical applications don't go deep enough to get to the source of the fungus. There's no discussion of diet here. I would wonder if this person's on a sugary or starchy diet. I think diet may play a role in this, not always. Mm-hmm. Some people just have a immune system vulnerability to fungal infections.
Yeah. That could be something. Ben is asking, because he's going to take this dangerous medication, are there any supplements to mitigate it? He started taking milk thistle.
Yeah, that's the problem, is milk thistle...
It
may accelerate the detoxification of this medication, which would vitiate the efficacy of the medication. Mm-hmm. So it might be contraindicated specifically. I mean, the typical health food store advice is, you're going to take a powerful medication. Well, take some milk thistle just to protect your liver.
Yeah,
it may protect your liver, but it may also interfere with the activity of the medication.
Yeah. What other... he's tried these natural things like tea tree oil, oregano oil, things like that, but... I think podiatrists recommend a cream fungicide or a tiniacide.
I guess it's gone beyond that. There may be some interim step of some prescription antifungal topical.
Yeah, there's also...
those don't work too well, though.
Yeah, I heard laser. That was a thing.
Okay.
Not sure that...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure that that works so well either, or needs to be tried times. Or
I mean, if you've got any handy-dandy holistic podiatrists or foot fungus specialists among our listenership, please chime in with your recommendations.
Really? Yeah.
And, please don't tell me that, go to the barn and, get one of Granny's socks and, gather some... goat manure and put it in the sock and sleep with that for a year.
and don't tell us to scrub your toes with Clorox.
Yeah, that's
or Comet. Well, some people do.
Some people soak their feet with Clorox, but not obviously. It has to be diluted Clorox.
It has to be diluted and it needs to be washed away. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you want to burn your skin off or something in the process.
Yeah. Out, foul spot. That line from Macbeth.
And just some personal hygiene. Things that I think are obvious, but maybe they are not. Don't wear the same socks every day. You actually shouldn't wear the same shoes every day.
Dry your toes.
Your toes thoroughly. Make sure they're dry.
Some people make these infections worse by overwashing. They say, I've got a fungal infection. I have to clean. Then the moisture never recedes from the area.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Right. Right.
You know, it's funny. I have a recollection. This is just totally not related, but somewhat related. Before I went to medical school, you know, I got out of college and I didn't know what kind of career I was going to get into, and I wanted to go into the Foreign Service. I passed with flying colors the Foreign Service exam, mm-hmm. and I went to actually Washington, D.C. for my oral exam. And I remember I saw this gentleman, and he looked like a statesman. He was wearing a three-piece suit, very mm-hmm. dignified, you know, and, you know, white shirt, three-piece suit. And I looked at his feet, and he was wearing sandals. And, you know, he could see that I was startled. And he said, in a sonorous voice, he said, well, I've been with the Foreign Service many years, and I was stationed in South Asia for many years. And I developed a very recalcitrant fungal foot infection. And therefore, I have to wear sandals all the time to keep my feet dry.
There's a good explanation. And, good accent,
right,
Dr. H.
Right. No, but he was like, you know, some like retired Foreign Service uh-huh. officer who was like, now they reeled him back into the Washington to interview. So I never made it. Long and short, it's a good thing. I never made it into the Foreign Service. I think my hair was too long or something. I don't know.
It wasn't because you were staring at his sandals.
No. Yeah. It's
okay. Your hair was too long. Okay.
So.
Oh my gosh.
So then, you know, yeah. I mean, I could have been ambassador to whatever, Liechtenstein, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, mm-hmm. but I decided to go to med school instead.
There you go. There you have it, folks.
Yeah. The rest is history.
The rest is history. You might have that, dignified, Foreign Service, agent to thank for that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He washed me out of the Foreign Service.
All right. Oh, we've got a question from Larry. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, just heard the Nitric Oxide podcast featuring Beth Shirley.
That was great. She's so knowledgeable. Yeah. I mean, I was really impressed with her because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously she represents, the company Berkeley Life. Mm-hmm. But she really wasn't just shilling for the product. She was very knowledgeable about nitric oxide chemistry. I learned a lot talking to her. Mm-hmm. That's a worthwhile podcast to go back and listen to.
So Larry says, I've been doing the beets, citrulline, carnitine, and anything that's helpful in supplying oxygen. I was shocked to hear that arginine, in her opinion, was not helpful and maybe counterintuitive. Do you agree with her assessment?
Yeah.
Do I throw them out?
I think arginine has lost its luster a little bit in terms of being a nitric oxide precursor. What happens, and she pointed it out, is that nitric oxide can, you know, excess arginine can be made into AGMA, which is a, you know, reactive species of, mm-hmm. you know, free radical character that, you know, may not be that favorable for humans and may not be that good for generating nitric oxide. However, she said that citrulline can avoid that.
Yeah, citrulline can avoid that. And he says, P.S., while we're on the topic, what exactly is in Viagra that makes it so effective?
What's in it? Well, there's this thing called Viagra, which is, you know, basically it is something which inhibits the breakdown of nitric oxide. It doesn't generate nitric oxide.
Yeah, it keeps
from breaking down. Mm-hmm. So by analogy, you know, how do you fill a bathtub? One is you turn on the faucet, which is to build nitric oxide to fill it. And the other is to put a stopper in the drain.
Yeah.
And that's what...
Keep it from flowing out.
That's what Viagra, Cialis, Levitra do. They basically stop the breakdown of nitric mm-hmm. oxide. Mm-hmm. So...
There you go.
They don't help
started
to...
as a heart medicine,
so that's,
right?
So that's why, if you're... Yeah. That you explained to me, it was very nicely. If you take... like Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. What's the actual name? I have some samples here. Berkeley Life Professional, nitric oxide support for healthy cardiovascular system. You can find it on Fullscript. That's the product we're recommending, the Professional line, which you get on Fullscript. You can't get that in stores. You got to get it online.
Yes, go to drhoffman.com, go to the store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you take that product, say you are taking Viagra Cialis, you know, you are thereby you are closing the drain.
Yeah.
But you're not turning the faucet on. So you're to fill your tub with nitric oxide, you can take these pills and you can take Viagra, Cialis, Levitra safely.
Yeah.
You're not going to OD.
Right. On nitric oxide.
She said that it really, if you don't have the faucet on, you know, just stopping up the drain isn't that effective.
Yeah.
You need both.
You need both.
To fill your tank, so
you
to speak.
You need a celery smoothie or something.
So drink some. It's like, honey, I'll be right there. I'm making some beet juice.
Right.
It's like, oh, but like your lips and mouth are all red. Yeah, okay, well, ignore that. Let's go.
Right.
Actually, yeah. Simpler to take a pill.
So, Larry, thank you for that question.
All right, that's all the time that we have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies as usual.
So, funniest line from the Joker to conclude with is, and I laughed. The theater was, I saw it in the middle of the day, so the theater was fairly empty. So my laughter was kind of weird. I hope, you know, it's a good thing they didn't have an armed guard there because of the threat of, you know, violence. Uh-huh. They would have said, sir, could you come with us, please? But I laughed out loud. Was he the Joker, and he's obviously acting crazed, and he goes to his social worker and he says, do you think you can get the psychiatrist to up my medication? And she looks at him and she says, well, I see here that you're already on 7 medications. You should be feeling better by now. And I laughed.
Yeah.
Because you're on 7 medications. Yeah. Are you going to feel good?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so anyway.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
That was, I guess, it appealed to my mordant medical sense of humor. Go see the movie if you like. If you're a faint of heart, it's not for you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla. And remember, we've got a Facebook Live event coming up next Tuesday, so be there.
Do tune in,
live
yes.
Tuesday. Go to Facebook and check out our website if you're following us on Facebook. And we'll answer your questions. And you can see our handsome visages as we field your questions live. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla.
Thanks, everybody.
Our weekly Q&A with Layla, Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.